against the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Pastor Tanberg, you said that speaking in tongues is the sign that a person has received the Holy Ghost. Yes, I'll own that. That's what I said. But I have an objection, they said. 1 Corinthians 12:30 says, do all speak with tongues? Doesn't that imply or suggest that everybody doesn't speak with tongues, and everybody does not have the gift of healing, and everybody doesn't have the other gifts of the Spirit, and some people have one gift, some have another. Everybody doesn't speak with tongues. Isn't that what Paul means? Then they had another objection and said the Bible records instances where people did receive the Holy Ghost, and there's no mention made of speaking in other tongues. Well, another man said, might have been the same man, I know a man who has never spoken in tongues, and yet he lives a cleaner life than many people that do speak in tongues. Well, I said to him, I know a man who doesn't believe in God, and he lives a cleaner life than some Christians I know. And I did. I know a man that did not believe in God. Actually, he was an agnostic, which is, to me, the same thing. If you don't know, I guess you don't believe in it. So, but he lived a better life than a lot of Christians I knew. Oh my, we need to talk about that. But anyway, my answer to the first objection, do all speak with tongues, was, if you are saying, do all have the gift of tongues? No, all do not speak with tongues in the use of the charisma, the gift of tongues. Do all speak with tongues when they receive the Holy Ghost? Emphatically, yes. God doesn't know one person that's received the Holy Ghost that didn't speak in tongues. How can I know somebody that's received the Holy Ghost that didn't speak with tongues if God doesn't? But they like to make you think that there's another way. There's another way to receive the Holy Ghost and have the evidence or the proof or the sign without speaking in tongues. I personally don't believe that. In fact, we had a missionary to China stay in our home years ago on Chippewa Street, where I was born and lived till I married. And they told me that she had the gift of interpretation of tongues. She could interpret tongues when people gave a message in tongues, but she herself had never spoken in tongues. And they presented that to me. And they said, how do you handle that? How do you answer that? I said, well, that's easy. I don't believe it. That's simple. I'm not required to believe anything that this book doesn't teach. If somebody has an experience and says, what are you going to do with that experience? I'm going to check it against the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up to the Word of God, I reject it. This is the foundation. This is the standard. This is the truth here. We don't go by what people think, what people say, we go by what God Almighty said. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I don't get carried away with things like that. I just answer them simply and according to the Scripture. Do all speak with tongues when they receive the Holy Ghost? Yes. 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 We have got to unlearn, if we ever learn, the idea that you can receive the Holy Ghost without speaking in other tongues. That's something we need to get out of our thinking. Don't let people talk you into those things. Don't let people sidetrack you. I just read to you, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and it doesn't say one prophesied, one spoke with tongues, and one healed somebody, one performed a miracle, and one exercised the gift of wisdom or the gift or the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. It doesn't say that. It says they all got the Holy Ghost and they all spake with tongues. That ought to settle it. There wasn't a choice of signs, a choice of manifestations. There wasn't a choice of proofs or a choice of evidences. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they all spoke with tongues. Put it down. That's what it says. Amen. Amen. Now, Peter said, on the day of Pentecost, right after they had spoken in tongues, preaching to those thousands of people, he said, "This is that. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." Joel prophesied and did not mention tongues. But Isaiah prophesied and did mention tongues. But they were both referring to the same thing. The coming of the Holy Ghost. "It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Holy Ghost won't come. But if I go away, I will send him unto you." Praise the Lord. Did Jesus go away? Praise the Lord. He went away and he sent the Holy Ghost. I've got my proof of the resurrection of Jesus. I've got my proof of the ascension of Jesus. I've received his spirit. Amen. All right. So if Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, "This is that," why should we go looking for a substitute? If Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and pointed at all those people speaking in tongues and then declared to the multitudes, "This is that," doesn't that mean there isn't something else? That this is that. Don't look for a substitute. Don't look for another way around it. Humble yourself. Receive what God has. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, I love it. I love it. Nobody's been able to talk me out of it all my life. And I've been battered. I mean, I've been attacked. And I've been reasoned with. But you know what they do? They sidetrack you. You got to get right back on track. Here's the track right here. Here's the sidetrack right here. Ew, what about this? What about that? No, what about this? Stay on track. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do all speak with tongues? Acts 2:4, they spoke with tongues. And again in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, remember he had that supernatural vision. Remember Cornelius had an angel appear to him. Remember Peter went from Joppa over to Caesarea. Remember he went into the household of Cornelius, this Gentile man. Cornelius went to worship Peter, and Peter took him up and said, "Oh, no, 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 I'm just a man like you." And he said, "Well, let's talk about why I'm here." And he preached the gospel to them. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. Preach the gospel to them. "And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now remember, the gift of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost are one and the same thing. You knew that. One and the same thing. You can't make a distinction between being filled with the Holy Ghost and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. No distinction, because he says here, "because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." Same thing that happened to them on the day of Pentecost, where it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So don't make a distinction between being filled with the Holy Ghost and having the gift of the Holy Ghost poured out on you. "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." The sign is tongues. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 14, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign." So here you have it. Now wouldn't that be awful if you had a sign that said, let's see, you're heading for Chicago, and you saw a sign and it said Chicago, and the arrow pointed that way. Then you saw another sign sitting right next to it and it said Chicago, that way. You can't have two signs. Chicago, that way. No, Chicago, that way. What is tongues a sign of? The Holy Ghost. That the man has received the Holy Ghost. "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received?" Now don't make a distinction between being filled with the Holy Ghost, having the Holy Ghost poured out on you as a gift, and receiving the Holy Ghost. He uses those terms synonymously here, interchangeably. which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. So it's the same thing Peter's talking about in Acts 2:38 when he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, having the Holy Ghost poured out on you, being filled with the Holy Ghost, are all one and the exact same experience. Hallelujah. In fact, I don't know if I have it with me, but I have a whole list. No, I don't have it with me. Of terminology used interchangeably on receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed to him to tarry certain days. Amen. How about Acts chapter 19? This is nothing new to most of us, but I'm laying a foundation here for what I want to finish saying today. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Do you know that you have to be a believer before you receive the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is not just for the unrepentant drunkard or alcoholic on the street. The Holy Ghost is for somebody that's been to Calvary. Calvary precedes Pentecost, both historically and experientially. Let me say that again. Calvary precedes Pentecost, both historically and experientially. You better go to Calvary before you go to the upper room. You better go and have your sins dealt with and repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Too many people come to an altar with a wine bottle in their back pocket and a pack of cigarettes up here in their shirt pocket. They come with some things they haven't gotten forgiveness from. And they're wanting the Holy Ghost. Brother, the Bible teaches us that we believe and we repent and we're baptized before we receive the Holy Ghost. Right? And we'll, so Paul meets these apostles, these disciples of John the Baptist here, and he says unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, oh, I know where you're at. I know where you're at. I know all about John the Baptist. Now, let me come down to where you're at and lead you on. Do you want success with people in other denominations without getting them hating you for no cause? Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Find out where they are at. Maybe they only know so much. Maybe they don't know about your church and the book of Acts like you do. Maybe they don't know about that Holy Ghost experience. How about going back to where they are, like Paul did here? I know where you're at. And then lead them on. He said, well, sure, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So, they believed on Christ Jesus. Do you know down in Samaria they believed on Christ Jesus? Do you know that they had great joy in that city and they had not received the Holy Ghost? They believed, and their belief brought them great joy. There were miracles performed in the city of Samaria. Then they sent for Peter and John to come down and lay hands on them, and they might receive the Holy Ghost. Peter had the keys to the kingdom, of course. You might say he opened the door to the Jews, he opened the door to the Samaritans, he opened the door to the Gentiles. Three keys. Doesn't say three keys, but that's what a lot of us have concluded there. So, John, sure, John baptized. You've been baptized according to John's baptism. Great. He taught you to believe on Jesus Christ. Great. You do believe. Great. And then Peter, Paul must have explained some things to him. He says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I love that when people don't have a rebellious, stubborn attitude. When they hear truth, they submit to it. They embrace it. They say, wow, that's for me. That's in the Bible. I'm going to do it. Instead of, well, how come this? Do all speak with tongues and argue with you? They're not arguing with me. They're not arguing with you. They're arguing with the Word of God. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. See, you can speak with tongues and prophesy. You can speak with tongues, like it said in Acts 10, and magnify God. You can speak with tongues and roll on the floor. You can speak with tongues and swing from that chandelier. You can speak in tongues and run the aisle. But you don't have the Holy Ghost if you run the aisle, swing from the chandelier, and do other things, but don't speak in tongues. In every case, they speak with tongues. They spoke with tongues. I've been in Pentecost for over 4.5 decades now, and I've never seen anybody receive the Holy Ghost that didn't speak in tongues. I've never seen anybody that's been instructed in the Scripture receive the Holy Ghost, or say they received the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. I said instructed in the Scripture, like Paul instructed these men. And all the men were about 12. So Paul laid his hands on 12 men, they all spoke with tongues. Amen. He laid his hands on them. But they all did the same thing. They all spoke with tongues. Praise the Lord. All the men were about 12. No matter how many there were, they all received the same experience. But see, we're being told today by certain groups, or one certain group especially, we're being told that you received the Holy Ghost and you did this, and you have a different gift. And see, that's charisma. That's from the Greek word charisma. But there's another Greek word for receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's doria. Two different words. Let me get into that in a few minutes, maybe, if we have time here. So, the same in Acts 2:4. They all received the same experience, and they all did the same thing. They all spoke with other tongues. The Bible makes a distinction. And here's where a lot of people go wrong, and they've been taught wrong in this neo-Pentecostal movement. They've been taught that the gift of tongues is the gift of the Holy Ghost. But what they're saying is it's a gift of the Holy Ghost, not the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. One of the many gifts, but the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the sign of speaking in other tongues, is that initial encounter with the Holy Ghost, that initial experience with the Holy Ghost, when you are filled, and then subsequent to that, you could receive the gift of tongues, interpretation, prophecy, and other gifts of the Spirit to be used congregationally, to be used in the church, to edify the body. Where, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, he that speaketh in tongues edifieth himself. I'm going to speak in tongues all I can. I'm going to help myself to it because I'm edifying myself. It just makes me a happier, stronger Christian. He that speaketh in tongues or in unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that speaks in tongues with the charisma, from the Greek word charisma, he that speaks with the gift of tongues edifies the whole body. So when you give a message in tongues and it's interpreted, you have edified the whole body. When you speak in tongues at the altar during prayer service, or just when we stand and pray and you start talking, you're edifying yourself. Now they say, you know, that you don't, you edify yourself, but it really doesn't say you don't edify anybody else, because I get awful happy when I hear you speak in tongues. You know, mention that pass by. I'm not disagreeing with the basic doctrine. No. But I'm saying, don't worry about offending me when you speak in tongues. Got me? Praise the Lord. You don't offend me at all. I enjoy it. But if I came over to talk a situation over with you and all you did was talk in tongues to me, I might leave. You know, I say, well, he needs edifying. I'm leaving. I might do that. You know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. So the Bible does make a distinction between the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues. Acts 2:4 does not say they received the gift of tongues. Acts 10 doesn't say that the household of Cornelius received the gift of tongues. Acts 19, where Paul laid hands on those 12 disciples of John the Baptist, received the gift of tongues. No. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it lists the 9 charismatic gifts, the 9 gifts, which is, that word gifts in there is from the Greek, where you can look it up yourself. I have the number here somewhere. Let me see. If you want to look this up. Charisma, number 5486, and it's 17 times in the New Testament. And Doria is number 1431, and it never refers, in all 11 times that it's used, to the gifts of the Spirit. It only refers to the gift of the Holy Ghost. Doria, D-O-R-E-A. Isn't this interesting? Praise the Lord. So Acts 2:4 does not say the gift of tongues. Acts 10, Acts 19 does not say the gift of tongues. It says the gift of the Holy Ghost. But there are a lot of people out there that are trying to sidetrack us traditional Pentecostals, we classic Pentecostals. They're trying to sidetrack us and get us confused and thinking that the gift of tongues and the gift of the Holy Ghost are one and the same thing. They are not one and the same thing. You receive the Holy Ghost first, then you can receive the gift of tongues. And I don't believe that missionary to China received the gift of interpretation without receiving the Holy Ghost. And I think I can take you to 1 Corinthians 12 and prove to you that that's not true. That's not true. This is true. I'm obligated to believe this. Praise the Lord. I don't give in to this other ideas. These other ideas. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is not a discussion about the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a discussion about the gifts of the Spirit. The charisma, not the doria. Hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 12. We might as well go there for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Spiritual gifts. Not singular. Not now concerning the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say that. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Doesn't that sound like you first receive the Spirit, then you receive the gifts? And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Doesn't that sound like the charisma? Like the gifts of the Spirit? For to one, it is the gifts of the Spirit, because he goes right on and says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Jump down to verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, tongues, diversities of tongues? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Taken in context, no. All do not interpret. Taken in context, no. All do not speak with tongues. Taken in context, all do not have the power to heal, the gifts of healing, the gifts of healing. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's not just for me. That's for you, too. You're a believer. You can lay hands on your sick child. You can lay hands on your sick uncle, grandfather, and see a divine healing supernaturally. Praise the Lord. Do all speak with tongues? In the context, no, because the context here is a discussion about the gifts of the Spirit, the charisma, not the doria. Got it? Praise the Lord. Amen. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then he goes into 1 Corinthians 13, and I hope I have time to just mention that. So, now turn to 1 Corinthians 14 for more proof of the distinction between the gift of tongues and the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, now what's the context? The gift of tongues. The charisma. The gift of tongues. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Okay? Now, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, it's got to be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. Now, do you think on the day of Pentecost that they received the gift of tongues when 120 were talking in tongues all at one time? You know, they'd be there a long time if they were talking by course and everyone was being interpreted. And then 3,000 the same day? We might have had to wait for the Holy Ghost to come on us because they might still be there interpreting. 3,000? Figure it out sometime. Time, the average length of a message in tongues, the average length of an interpretation, the average length of the worship and praise and aisle running that follows. And then multiply that by 3,000. See how long it would take for everybody, 3,000 of them, to speak in tongues, have it interpreted, doing it one by one. See, that's not the gift of tongues. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's why when we come to this altar, 5, 10, 15, whoever is here without the Holy Ghost can receive the Holy Ghost all at once. And God doesn't get confused and I don't get confused. But in a church service, somebody starts speaking in tongues here and somebody starts here and somebody over here. And the rest of us start cutting our fingernails or reading our Bibles or writing a letter to Aunt Nellie or whatever, you know. You're wasting our time. It's a completely different situation. One is doria and one is charisma. Look it up in your Greek. It's fun. It's exciting. It's interesting. It's soul building. Praise the Lord. And then that Cornelius household? How many people were there? We don't know. But he informed everybody. Come on over. Come on over. I had a vision. Peter's coming and God's going to do something here. They all start speaking in tongues. But they all spoke in tongues at one time while he was preaching. Or Peter really preached a long sermon. If he had to, and then it would be so confusing. Peter's preaching. He's talking in tongues. He's interpreting. No. They received the doria, not the charisma. They received the gift of the Holy Ghost, not the gift of tongues. And again, in Acts 19, all the men were about 12. They all spoke with tongues at the same time. And nothing in any of those cases is there anything mentioned about interpretation. Nothing in any one of them. But when Paul starts teaching on the church service, the general assembly of the firstborn coming together, then he teaches on the proper use of the gift of tongues, not the gift of the Holy Ghost. Make a distinction between the gift of the Holy Ghost and the gift of tongues, because God does, the Bible does, the Greek does, and I do. Amen. So, nothing is mentioned about interpretation right from the beginning in Acts 2:4, nor anywhere else where they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, or where they were filled with the Holy Ghost, or where the Holy Ghost was poured on them, or where they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. All interchangeable terms. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost is the very exact same thing. There is no difference between being filled with the Holy Ghost and being baptized with the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Greek bears out it's baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't get hung up on little things like that. I figure that King James hired some pretty good men to translate this. And I like the King James version of the scripture very, very much. You know what I see behind all this? I see the devil trying to stop you and me from talking in tongues. The devil would just love to stop us. He loved to confuse us, so we'd be careful with our speaking in tongues. We would do it. Well, I'll tell you, we need to talk in tongues more than we've ever talked in tongues. Somebody said, "But when I talk in tongues, I have such peace because I know the devil can't interpret it." There's nothing spiritual about him, you know. Nothing godly spiritual. Hallelujah. Okay. Isn't this a little like prayer? You know, the Bible tells us to pray. And you read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and he says, when you pray, enter your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. Your Father who is in secret will reward you openly, right? And so, honestly, the people in this church that have come here, and when we started praying out loud, they quit the church because they said we were anti-scriptural, because the scripture says you're supposed to pray in your closet. Well, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Oh, this just comes to me now. Then this is his closet. And we are one body, so if we're all talking at once, what's the difference? Jesus wasn't talking about a Pentecostal prayer meeting when he said, go in your closet. He was talking about these hypocrites that go around with their long robes and making a pretense and saying long prayers. He said, oh, you bunch of hypocrites, get in your closet and pray. If you're serious, if you're genuine, you know. We read in the book of Acts where they had a prayer meeting, and it says they all lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Behold their threatenings. Grant unto us boldness by performing signs and wonders. Tongues is a sign. Praise the Lord. So it's kind of like prayer. You have to make a distinction between that private prayer versus hypocritical public prayer and prayer times together, prayer meetings. They went to their own company and they had a prayer meeting. The Bible says after that prayer meeting, the building shook. I mean, the building shook. You talk about a 7.3 earthquake. I don't know what the scale would have read after that apostolic prayer meeting, but things were shaken all over. The building was shaken. The place was shaken where they were gathered together. Praise the Lord. Now, I just put a little note down here. I said, we may not be doing all we should. And surely we should be doing more. But I do believe that what we are doing right. You get that? I said, we may not be doing all we should. We may should be doing more than we are doing. But I think that what we are doing, we're doing right. I really do. I feel good. Another objection. The Bible records instances where people received the Holy Ghost but did not speak in tongues. Now, for that, we have to turn to Acts chapter 8. This is where they took me. Acts 8:14. This is another objection that was brought to me personally, and I'll give you my answer. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, I'm reading from Acts 8:14, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now fallen is the same thing as filled, or poured on, or received, or received the gift of. Same thing, interchangeable terms. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And nothing is said about tongues. So, see there, Pastor? This is what somebody said to me. They received the Holy Ghost at Samaria and didn't speak with tongues. I'll give you my answer. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. You have to admit that something with some manifestation took place because he saw. Something happened. One man said to me, well, no, I'll tell you later. You gotta watch the clock too. I just don't like to get sidetracked. So I said to this person, I said, don't sidetrack me. Let's go back to the beginning. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all began to speak with tongues. I said, now that's the beginning. Now doesn't the beginning give us the pattern? Doesn't the beginning give us the prototype? Doesn't the beginning give us the standard? Doesn't the beginning give us the original? Doesn't the beginning give us the absolute? Yes. Yes. You put an apple seed in the ground and go out and look for raisins on your tree. No. You look for apples on your apple tree because you put apple seed in the ground. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the day of Pentecost and see what happened in Acts chapter 8. Let me go on. I'll ask you a question. Did Jesus die of a heart attack? Did Jesus die from cancer? Did Jesus die from a stroke? Now, those are just as good questions as did they speak in tongues at Samaria? Because we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the original, the pattern, the standard, the absolute. We have the experience that Jesus had when he died. How did Jesus die? He died on a cross. He was crucified. But isn't it strange that in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 8, it says Christ died for our sins, and it doesn't say anything about being crucified, so I am free to assume that he died of a heart attack. That's about how foolish it is to say that they didn't speak in tongues down in Samaria. You might as well say Jesus died of a stroke as to say that they didn't speak in tongues down in Samaria. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus died on Calvary, and whenever it talks about his death, it refers you back to Calvary, to the original, to the absolute. And whenever it talks about somebody being filled with the Holy Ghost, receiving the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost falling on them, being poured on them, it always takes you back to the original, the day of Pentecost when they spoke in other tongues. There is no such thing as receiving the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. No mention of crucifixion. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No mention of a crucifixion. Yet we know that Jesus died from crucifixion. And there's no mention of tongues when they received the Holy Ghost in Samaria. But we know that they spoke in tongues. We know that. Because we go right back to where it started. Otherwise, how many Holy Ghosts would there be? Does anyone have authority to save? Since there are many ways a person can die that Jesus may not have been crucified? No, can't say that. Does anyone have authority to say that since tongues is not mentioned in every instance the Holy Ghost is spoken of in the Bible, that perhaps all those who received the Holy Ghost did not speak in tongues? No, I don't think so. I think we have to go back to where it first happened. Amen. We have the record of how Jesus died, and we have the record of how he poured out the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. And I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. He was a good kosher Jew, wasn't he? But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto me where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Ha. As on us at the beginning. Don't sidetrack me. I'm going to do like Peter did and take you back to the beginning. It fell on them as on us at the beginning. And he doesn't mention tongues in this whole chapter. He just says it happened to them just like it happened to us at the beginning. Praise the Lord. What verse did I leave off on there? Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, now this is Jesus, if you have a red letter Bible, this is probably in red letters now, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. There you have it. Being filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And now Peter says that that's what Jesus meant when he said baptized with the Holy Ghost. So you have interchangeable terms there. Baptized with the Holy Ghost and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says, as I began to speak to these Gentiles, the Holy Ghost fell on them. So here you have filled with the Holy Ghost, fell on them, and baptized with the Holy Ghost, all the same thing. All interchangeable terms. All synonymous terms. But people are always trying to sidetrack me. Trying to tell me, well, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost, two different things. No. I just proved to you right here. Peter proved to us that it's the same thing. Amen. As on us at the beginning. Verse 17 there says, For as much then as God gave them the like gift. See, it was something like it. No, I said, like means same thing. So I looked it up in the Greek. You know what like means? Equal. For as much. Not even mentioned in that chapter, and yet you know what he's saying and what he's referring to, because we have the record of Cornelius receiving the Holy Ghost in the previous chapter, chapter 10, verses 44 through 48, and we also have the original, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Another objection: no one can know when he is filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody told me that. No one can know when he is filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, if you don't know when you got it, you won't know when you lost it.
All right.
Let's read it. The wind, John 1, or John 3. There was a man of the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou canst, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How many remember July 15, 1980? The wind blew. But you can't tell when the wind blew. What? I could tell because trees were falling down out here. A great big tree fell down, covered the road, took high lines with it, and another tree here, and tree. Thousands of trees in the Eau Claire area were blown down in the July 15, 1980 storm. People were wearing t-shirts, I survived July 15. Things like that, maybe bumper stickers. But anyway, who can say they didn't know when the wind was blowing? You'd have to be blind. Absolutely blind and without feeling. The wind was blowing, July 15, 1980. And when somebody receives the Holy Ghost, you know it. So the man who says no one can know when he is filled with the Holy Ghost had better talk to Jesus about this. Amen. Besides that, they knew they had the Holy Ghost before they heard them speak with tongues. Another objection is, I heard this on the radio from a radio preacher years ago, and I think I have it on tape at home. He read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and the love chapter, you know. Now by faith, hope, and charity, and the grace of Jesus, charity. And then he proves, supposedly, by reading 1 Corinthians 14, 23, and 24, that, and here's his quote. I put it down word for word. Love motivates the mature Christian to select prophecy over tongues. Got that? Love, he says, motivates the mature Christian to select prophecy over tongues. And then 1 Corinthians 14:23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he's convinced of all, he is judged of all. So, he says, love motivates the mature Christian to select prophecy over tongues. My answer? He confuses the gift of tongues with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I have a question for him. I did ask him. Is God mature? It was God who chose tongues, not man. That wasn't my idea and it wasn't yours. That was God's idea. God's the one who selected tongues. Hallelujah. So, why did God select tongues over prophecy at the house of Cornelius? We'll do anything to have it our way, won't we? Oh, I'll tell you. Another objection. I don't think tongues are so important. After all, in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, where the nine gifts of the Spirit are listed, tongues and interpretation are listed last. That's what somebody said to me. So I said, well, let's turn a chapter to 13 and read the last verse of chapter 13, which says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. I said, charity's listed last. Oops, let's read the rest of the verse. But the greatest of these is charity. I said, your argument doesn't hold water. He lists charity last, and right away he says it's the greatest. Another objection I received, Brother Tanver, somebody said to me, I've heard you say tongues is not the only manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Tongues is not the only, I heard you say that yourself, right from this pulpit, that tongues is not the only manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And I say, right, true, I said that, and I meant that. And I repeat, tongues is the only God-given sign that a person has received the Holy Ghost. Sign. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, we must read that again. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God, which worketh all in all. 1 Corinthians 12, 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, and then he gives the nine gifts of the Spirit. So I said, tongues is not the only manifestation of the Spirit, it's the only sign that God gave, that one has received the Holy Ghost. So this passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, explains that there are many manifestations of the Holy Ghost, but doesn't say many signs indicating that a person has received the Holy Ghost. It's kind of like the Godhead, isn't it? I could not say myself, and I've read one of his tracts that say, there's one God and three manifestations. I can't say that. I can't say that there are three manifestations of one God. I can say there are 3 million manifestations of one God. But I can't say there are only three manifestations of one God. I wouldn't dare say that. I wouldn't dare say that because God can manifest himself in a million ways. I think he manifests himself in every raindrop, in every snowflake, in every cloud, in every leaf, in every blade of grass, in every animal. In the smile of every baby, God is manifesting himself. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And when I read that, I got a little excited, and I said, I'll bet you, John Tanberg, that word showeth means manifest. And I looked it up in the Hebrew, number 5046. The firmament showeth, and it means manifest. The firmament manifests his glory. So if you have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, then you have the firmament. There's 4 manifestations right there. The Bible says so. Besides every snowflake, cloud, leaf, blade of grass, and baby animal, God is manifested everywhere. The heavens declare his glory. The heavens manifest his glory. The firmament manifests his handiwork. Praise the Lord. He is manifested in a million ways. Our time is up. Can we stand? Worship the Lord.